Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the redacted news, and we try to unredact it for you, the stuff the corporate media won't let you see. We try to cut through a lot of the propaganda here on the broadcast, and we've got a lot of news we're going to get to. If you've been watching the Western media coverage of Russian President Vladimir Putin meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, there's been all sorts of spin around this story, and really kind of quiet around this coverage, but what their meeting portends is massive. 14 major agreements, everything from the economy to trade to the military to currency, everything. So we're going to go through what that looks like and the U.S. response to all of this, which is we are now about to launch a massive offensive against Russia. That's the U.S. and NATO response. So we'll unpack all of that today.
Plus, a judge ruled that Americans can see a report about just how dangerous fluoride is in the water supply. This was being held by Rachel Levine, what is her title? She's an official of health. I will read it to you later.
Is she the Surgeon General?
No, she's not. We'll get to
She's Woman of the Year.
Yes.
Woman of the Year.
And so we are going to take a look at what that
Assistant
shows.
Health Secretary.
Thank you
Assistant
for that.
Assistant Health Secretary.
She's Grand Poobah of health in the United States.
Suppressing this document, which we now get to see thanks to a lawsuit.
Yes.
Yeah. We're also going to look at the hypocrisy coming out of Poland. Right, they have been the ones that really amping up the rhetoric, of course, against Russia. We've got to send tanks. We've got to send jets. We're going to be the first to send jets inside of Ukraine to go, you know, directly against Russia. But hey, quietly, we're also ramping up all of our trade with Russia. The Polish hypocrisy is strong today. We're going to get to all of that, plus Bill Gates, as Redacted starts right now. Welcome, everybody. And I'm super excited because we have a lot of our community members have been joining a lot of new people have been joining our community here to support independent journalism. You've been buying some of the t-shirts as well, which is our silence equals complicity anti-war t-shirts. But I want to mention, there you go. They're the t-shirts. Silence equals complicity. I just ordered my black one, by the way.
Exciting.
So I'm excited for that. The run of that will end at the end of March. So you got to get it now. Anyway, we have a community. And you can, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support what we do here on the show and become a Redacted Rebel VIP. We release exclusive content to our locals community, and that's just for our Rebels community. We do also interviews that we release early and special live streams that we're going to be doing as well, just for our Redacted Rebel community. So again, for the price of a cup of coffee, if you want to support independent journalism, we are user funded. So thank you. You can go to redacted.inc and click on the community button and you can become a community member. And we really, really appreciate it. Also, if you're watching us on Rumble, it's even actually easier to do. You can click that big red join button right there because it's built right into Rumble and you can join our locals community that way. So thank you so much for becoming Rebels and joining us. Redacted.inc is the place to go and do that.
All right. And while you're there, you also can sign up for our newsletter. That is free.
Yeah.
And it's written sort of as a companion to this show, a lot of the stories that you see here. And for those of you who are always looking for, like, where's the link? Where can I send somebody this information? The newsletter is very well linked. It is one of my pet peeves that it feels like as the mainstream media gets more and more crooked, each story becomes less and less attributed. And so the mainstream media is sort of dumbing us down, saying, I'm going to tell you this, you don't seek it out yourself. So when I write the newsletter, it's really hard for me to read something and then go look for the original source because I have to dig for it myself. They don't trust you to interpret news yourself. We do. Mm-hmm. We want to present this to you and then send you on however much of a research project that you want to go on. So please subscribe to the newsletter and share it with your friends.
All right, let's get to our top story now, and that is the United States is about to launch a massive military offensive against Russia in the Russian territory, according to reports this morning. We'll get to that in a moment. We'll get to the latest U.S. and NATO attack against Russia in a moment. But first, Russia and China just took major steps yesterday in reordering the world order, creating what many are calling a new world order. And I would argue that that's correct. When you're literally taking the world off of a U.S. reserve currency and you're shifting the entire power dynamic to Russia and China and BRICS nations, that is a new world order. And you're watching it unfold right before our eyes. This is a moment in history we'll be able to tell our children about, the decline of U.S. hegemony, the rise of what we're seeing right now. We had Putin and Xi Jinping, of course, with their big meetings over the past few days, saying goodbye early this morning as Xi Jinping was flying out. And they accomplished a lot. They signed a multi-part economic and military framework. They're going to use Chinese currency to settle trades instead of the U.S. dollar. Think about that for a minute. They're going to be using the Chinese yuan to settle trades instead of using U.S. currency.
Now, not only does that account for a large part of the global population because of the size of China and Russia, but they are also encouraging, and President Putin is encouraging, other nations to do the same in Africa, in South America, in Latin America. Where else? He mentioned three different places. And so those places that are suffering from Western sanctions are absolutely motivated to try to do that. Because if you are, say, Argentina, and you would like to, you know, continue to finish your nuclear reactors in order to get affordable energy to your people, but you are suffering from Western sanctions, and the West continues to lean on you to sanction Russia, you can say, okay, I don't need to deal with this then. I have options now.
Right. And that's the key, right, is the options for them. And regardless of how you feel about it, I mean, this is a major, major story that the West is completely downplaying. They're much more concerned about Trump being arrested than anything else. They don't even want you to know the decline of the U.S. economy right now and the banking crisis. Like, all the headlines are about storms in California, which they're big, and Trump being arrested. But never mind what's actually going on with this unipolar disaster and the multipolar rise that we're seeing. Going now, Putin and Xi, they're going to build a massive new border infrastructure. So among the 14 agreements, a new border infrastructure, which expands agricultural cooperation. They'll be improving the cooperation of exchanging energy, minerals, metals, chemicals. I mean, what else is on there on the list, for crying out loud?
Right? Things that they actually mine,
right,
and control. We've done reports here about how the United States does have a lot of these resources, but environmental groups are stopping the mining of those things. And so if you want your nice electronics and smart cars and EVs, you're not going to be able to get them from American manufacturing.
We don't do any uranium mining in the United States. We have one uranium mine in the United States. One. How did that happen? Because we're idiots.
As we've reported here, the United States was pioneers in the uranium mining industry.
So we gave that away. We gave that away. This is all a man-made disaster, by the way. You can see it, right? We could have been leading that charge, but instead we're not. So metals, chemicals, minerals, they signed these 14 total agreements, including nuclear energy, with a shared cooperation of building faster neutron reactors. The governments also agreed to create a new joint television station that would share information. These guys over the past few days, like, shaking hands and they seemed like they were like best friends, in these meetings. Oil exports to China have exploded. And another area of agreement moving forward is on this massive new pipeline, the Mongolian pipeline, from Russia to China. So massive new oil and hydrocarbon pipeline from Russia to China.
Now, I've seen some comments online that Joe Biden made this possible because it could be interpreted that nothing brings people together like a common enemy. And as they continue to be, the butt of aggression from the United States, then, of course, they're motivated to make this work more than ever before.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And now they know they have this common threat. They are under siege, basically, right? So they see this happening with the United States aggression in the South China Sea, military bases, weapons, money into Taiwan, nuclear weapons, nuclear submarines into Australia. You know, I mean, the list is pretty much endless. Yeah, David.
Well, I was going to say, and let's talk also about sanctions. All of these countries that know that at any moment, if they do anything outside of what we say they can do, sanctions on them, and they're going to be like, wait, we might not have to have sanctions on us anymore, because let's not, you know, forget, sanctions are basically an act of war.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. The weapons of, you know, what was it? The sanctions of mass destruction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they also signed a new military partnership. They'll have a military exchange and cooperation program with mutual trust between their armed forces. They're also going to regularly conduct joint maritime and air patrol military exercises together. Their goal, they say, is a multipolar world order instead of a unipolar U.S.-led world order. That was this meeting. Why is this not like the lead story on every major newspaper or newscast? It's not. The third thing that they discussed was the Ukrainian peace proposal. Why is this also not one of the lead stories on the nightly newscasts? Peace in Ukraine? Why not lead your newscasts with that? Let's see if Lester Holt tonight on NBC's Nightly News leads with that story. Probably not. So they put this forth by China. China put this 12-part framework together about peace in Ukraine. Putin praised this 12-part peace plan, saying he's ready for it. But the United States and the West are not ready for peace. Here is President Putin talking about this. We have subtitles. Watch.
Что многие из положений, выдвинутого Китаем мирного плана, созвучны российским подходам и могут быть взяты за основу для мирного урегулирования, когда к нему будут готовы на Западе и в Киеве. Однако такой подход, пока такой готовности с их стороны мы не наблюдаем. В то время, когда мы с председателем обсуждали вопрос возможности реализации китайского плана мирного урегулирования, а председатель КНР уделил большое внимание своим мирным инициативам в ходе нашей вчерашней беседы с глазу на глаз, вот сегодня стало известно, что...
Yeah. So we're ready for it. You know who's not ready for it? He says the West and Ukraine. They're not ready for peace. So we'll just keep fighting till the last Ukrainian. That's been the plan, of course, all along. And then the Chinese president got on an airplane and started to fly home. They shook hands. They were caught on camera talking about how this will be the greatest change to the world in 100 years. And Putin said, I agree, my friend, and have a safe journey. Watch this.
Перемены, которые не было в течение 100 лет. Там, где вместе двигаем эти перемены. Берегите, пожалуйста, дорогой друг.
He even walks him out to the car like he's on a date.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, get home safe, okay? Get home safe. You're my new best friend.
Text me.
Call me
when you get back. Didn't open the door for him.
Hey, it's Vlad. I'm up late. What are you doing? What are you doing?
He's asking his officials, when is too soon to text back?
Right. Is it a little too pushy for me to keep texting early? Like, but I mean, this is the type of relationship that we see growing. It's unbelievable to watch this. And what relationships does the United States have in this way right now? Think about the tale of two summits, right? President Biden flying into Saudi Arabia to try to push them for more oil production, right?
Yeah.
Agreements with Saudi Arabia. Instead, what did Saudi Arabia do? It turns out, we know from reports, they ended up mocking President Biden behind his back after he left. They called him like a fool. And then they turned around and basically started moving more closely with China. That's what Saudi Arabia did. So have a safe voyage back. So this was all happening while at the same time, the world is being upended, reordered. That's what was happening. And what was happening in Washington, D.C. while this was happening in Moscow? President Biden handing out awards to Hollywood actresses. Watch. This literally happened.
Indy Kaling. For giving voice to a new generation of storytellers, imbued with humor and heart, Mindy Kaling's work.
Ooh, that's a short little dress with no nylons. I've been to the White House too, and I was And I was really self-conscious that you need to wear nylons.
So President Biden, literally, I mean, handing out awards to actresses. Now, in Mindy Kaling's defense, she did defend J.K. Rowling for speaking out in support of women. The woke mob freaked out when she liked that J.K. Rowling's tweet. Remember this? Mm. People were like, what? Mindy Kaling likes this tweet as a parent of a trans child and a non-binary child. And as admirer of yours, I hope I'm misreading that she liked a tweet by J.K. Rowling.
How dare you?
How dare you? Right.
No, but people have lost their jobs for liking J.K. Rowling's tweet.
Yeah.
It's more mm-hmm. insidious than that.
Well, and then, but then she also released a woke television show on HBO on this Velma remake of like Scooby-Doo thing. It's been bombed as one of the lowest rated shows ever on Rotten Tomatoes on HBO. It was called
I watched it. Woke
piece of garbage. Is it a woke piece of garbage?
Oh my God. I literally cringed the whole entire time. Didn't laugh once, but I had to watch it because I had to know what everybody was talking about. So I watched three episodes of it. Garbage.
So that's what the White House is doing, handing out awards for that. Like literally at the same moment in Washington, that's the priority of Washington right now with a banking crisis. I mean, an economy slipping into ruin. And this is what we're doing. Unbelievable.
Did you see the press conference that they just did where they had the whole cast of Ted Lasso behind Jean-Pierre?
Yeah.
What is going on?
They bring the cast of Ted Lasso to the White House. Like, I love that show. It's a great show. What the hell?
Well, I can tell you what the hell, because what the United States is really good at is exporting culture. And, you know, Hollywood sort of acts as a mouthpiece for why it's cool to be an American. And we are expats, so we understand how that, like, we get cool points just because of our accent from a lot of people who say, oh, I watch American YouTube, I watch American shows, I learned English from friends. Like, we do hear this a lot. And so if you can sort of double down on this as PR in a time when nothing else about your culture looks appealing, not your currency, not your economy, not your banking system, certainly not your health system.
Not your bullying of through military.
Right. Not your social media censorship, not your non-scientific COVID rules. Nothing here is worth exporting, except we're really good at movies and TV shows and music.
Yeah.
And so that's, of course, why you double down on that. It's not for nothing. It's absolutely not.
So it's propaganda.
Gratuitous.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it's propaganda.
Yeah, it's total propaganda. So rather than ask tough questions at the press corps, let's bring the cast of Ted Lasso here so we don't have to take tough questions. And then you had that African reporter trying to ask questions of Jean-Pierre while the cast of Ted Lasso was in the room. And he's like, are you ever going to call on me? It's been 9 months now or 7 months. You haven't called on me. This is egregious. And the cast of Ted Lasso is kind of like standing there like, whoa, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah, we didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. I clapped for that guy.
Yeah.
Very awkward, very awkward.
And then he goes on Tucker, you know, and then, Tucker had him on. Anyway, so the United States, while this is happening, is busy bailing out failed banks. That's what we're doing right now. And handing out awards to Hollywood actors and actresses. But the U.S. military industrial complex is alive and well and is ready to launch a massive offensive against Russia. According to the German newspaper Bild this morning, the United States is preparing a massive strike of against new Russian territories. Their sources say that the United States and NATO forces will see the biggest strikes happening in the coming weeks against Russia. Now, if you watched our show last night, you realize we are no longer on this show saying that Ukraine is carrying out these attacks. Ukraine is done. This is the United States and NATO forces carrying out these attacks. So anytime you see the word Ukraine is carrying out attack, just scratch that out and put U.S. in its place from now on and NATO forces. So that's exactly what's happening against Russia. So while refusing to go into detail on this regarding planned operations, according to this Bild article, the official at NATO asserted that Ukrainian forces and U.S. forces, of course, led by U.S. forces, will focus their efforts on the regions of Zaporizhia and Lugansk. The U.S. will attack the land bridge to Crimea. That's good. So the United States is going to attack the land bridge to Crimea. That's the plan. The sources say that the United States sees this as a do-or-die moment for the war. Britain also getting in on this offensive. According to the UK's defense minister, Annabel Goldie, Britain will be sending depleted uranium shells to Ukraine. Wait, what the hell? Did you not watch? Like, we had a whole report on depleted uranium just a few weeks ago here on the show. and why that's a really bad idea. The UK is sending depleted uranium shells, and this isn't like a random report. This comes from the Defense Ministry of UK. This isn't like some rumor. They're admitting it. So they're going to be used in their Challenger 2 tanks. These are armor-piercing weapons that cause cancer. If you needed any more evidence that the West wants the destruction of Ukraine, then look no further. Putin responded to the UK defense minister announcing these new shell deliveries. Listen to President Putin.
Что Великобритания устами заместителя главы Министерства обороны этой страны объявила не только о поставках танков на Украину, но и снарядов с обедненным ураном. Похоже, что Запад действительно решил воевать с Россией до последнего украинца уже не на словах, а на деле. Но хотел бы в этой связи отметить, что если все это будет происходить, то соответствующим образом Россия вынуждена будет реагировать, имея в виду, что коллективный Запад начинает применять уже оружие с ядерным компонентом.
Yeah, so we will respond accordingly. So what? Nuclear war? World War III? This is what happened.
What's also so frustrating, they just talk about taking out this bridge and not even talking about like what an inconvenience that's going to be to both sides. Like they think, well, we can inconvenience Russia, but you know, that's going to inconvenience everyone in that territory that uses that bridge.
Yeah, we're going to cut off completely that entire area. Well, the land bridge and what other, they already hit the Kursk bridge, you know, so like, are they going to take that out again too? Just the land bridge, cutting that whole area off. People who want to be a part of Russia, they do not want to have anything to do with Ukraine. Go ahead, Philip.
I was going to say it's the NATO is like, it sounds like they're gearing up for a scorched earth policy to save Ukraine. To save Ukraine, we're going to burn it to the ground, cause cancer, you know, infrastructure.
I'm glad you're saying that because that's what it felt like to me too, which is so all of that eastern part of Ukraine that now Russia controls, which is the most fertile ground in the world, there, you know, it's going to be totally contaminated, right? Just to put some context on this, if the UK, which talks about its green economy, right, not only will this destroy Ukraine with this depleted uranium, but it will also be polluted for generations to come.
Yes.
Depleted uranium shells release a highly toxic powder upon impact. The radioactive dust then gets into the soil and the subsoil. This soil in eastern Ukraine, of course, is the most fertile in the world. We've talked about this extensively on the show. Even Colonel McGregor talked about how it was being literally dug up and shipped to parts of Europe because it's so fertile to being used during World War II. That's how fertile it is. And if this stuff gets in it, if this powder, this radioactive powder gets in it, game over. It also contaminates the clothes on your clothes, the skin of Ukrainian citizens when it gets hit. They then in turn can carry it to other people. It becomes a transport agent. They become a transport agent of dust, which then transfers to any living thing it touches. Any person that comes in contact with it, it transfers to that person. If you wanted some context, more context, here's, you know, in Iraq, radioactive weapons, estimated 286 tons of depleted uranium munitions were fired by U.S. forces in Iraq and Kuwait in 1991. 131 tons were used in the 2003 invasion. You can see the dust cloud there in the lower right-hand parts of your screen. So upon impact, it releases this secondary explosion where, you know, where the depleted uranium turns into like a powder and a mist. So just, I mean, just look what happened to Iraq. I dare you guys to Google the words depleted uranium in Iraq and look at those photos, horrible photos of deformed children. You cannot unsee those pictures once you see them. We're not going to show them here on the show. You can see what the United States did there. We used an estimated 286 tons of it in Iraq, not to mention Yugoslavia, where brain tumors among soldiers, families of soldiers in that area, in the Balkans, so many brain tumors, it's called the Balkan syndrome. Look that up. Do some research on that. If you're in England, you need to tell your government to stop this madness immediately. If there's anyone left with a brain in these places, you're going to get people killed. If that's not enough, the U.S., not to be outdone, so that's the U.K., the U.S. this morning, as part of this massive offensive, is now pressing the Biden administration. Four Republicans are signing a letter calling for cluster bombs to be sent to Ukraine.
Oh, these again?
Yeah. Remember, and Ukraine was asking for these. Republican lawmakers pressed Biden to send cluster bombs to Ukraine. And they signed a letter. Four leading Republicans in Congress sent a letter to Biden urging him to provide Ukraine with cluster bombs, which, of course, we will then be using. It's not like Ukrainians are going to use them. There's no one left.
Aren't those internationally illegal?
They are, but you'll know that Ukraine and the United States have not signed that illegal, that 2008 agreement. So the United States and Ukraine can use munitions that are carried out against civilians and kill civilians. So the United States was like, no, we're not signing that agreement. We love killing civilians. And Ukraine also opted not to sign that agreement. It should be pointed out as well that Russia did not sign that agreement as well in 2008. So Ukraine can use these without technically being considered a war crime. And since the United States will be actually carrying out these attacks using cluster bombs, the United States gets away with it as well because they're not part of this agreement.
Oh, no. Well, today Politico ran a story saying absolutely a quick study. Ukrainians master Patriot system faster than expected. So we are supposed to believe that they can read and train manuals in English, I guess, without our own participation. Like, we're just telling them, this is how you use it. If you need a Zoom tutorial, we're available. That, you know, sure, they can handle it. So we are supposed to sort of have a hands off. We can just send it to them. It's basically like a blender. So they're going to figure it out.
They'll just figure. I love that article. Yeah, we had a plan for how long it'll take you to train in our Patriot missile systems, but they exceeded our expectations. They were like weeks. They were done weeks ahead of time.
Yeah.
Like, as Scott Ritter has pointed out on the show, it takes a long ass time to learn how to use Patriot missile systems.
No, they're a quick study. It's okay.
Apparently you can take like a Skillshare class.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the way they set it up, there's just a single button in it that says fire. That's it. That's all you got to do. You just go in, you hit the big red button and done.
They have a parrot that
does
that.
It's so easy.
You know, one of those like electronic.
Yeah, it's probably, it's like, we've got the missiles 101. You're going to learn missiles. You're going to learn perfect English. You're going to, you know, lose your accent. Like, it's a full course on how to basically run this like an American, American.
Yeah.
They are Ukrainian. Wink, wink. Sure. No, Americans are pushing the buttons on these. Don't think for a second that these are Ukrainians doing this.
Here's the quote from the commanding general of the Army's Fire Center of Excellence, Brigadier General Shane Morgan. The Ukrainian soldiers are impressive and absolutely a quick study. Like a proud parent, he is. Due to their extensive air defense knowledge and experience in a combat zone, it was easier, though it's never easy, for them to grasp the Patriot system. They are the best of the best in what they do. Just, like, I'm so proud of them. Like, you know, potty training my youngest. Like, she just really got it. It was so easy.
I love the propaganda. It's so amazing. The amount, as Scott Ritter has talked about, the amount of support involved in Patriot systems, it's no small thing. It's not like you're just sending four guys out to handle these things. The amount of infrastructure and support that these things entail, this is propaganda being handed to you on a plate right now. So using cluster munitions, by all accounts, would be war crimes because due to the harm they cause civilians, cluster bombs have been banned by over 100 countries under that 2008 Convention on Cluster Munitions. But again, Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. did not sign that treaty. So the only people that have been using cluster bombs in this war, according to journalist Eva Bartlett, has been Ukraine. They've been using petal mines, which are technically a war crime. They've been thrown, of course, in residential zones. So these are petal mines, these little things that look like leaves on the ground. And kids pick them up because they're like, what is this? Like a fun little thing. And they pick it up and they blow their leg off. Look how the size of these things, size of a lighter, cigarette lighter. And they're mixed in with leaves on the ground. You can't tell the distance. You're walking your dog, boom, in residential zones. So, you know, it's unbelievable. So these four Republicans that signed this letter, these four piece of shit Republicans who signed this letter need to be held in account. If any of you are in their district, you need to raise hell with them. Please write to these people. So here they are. I'm going to name names. These are the four people that are calling for us to use cluster munitions in Ukraine, basically against civilians. Here they are. Representative Michael McCaul, who we've called out on the show before. That guy's a nut. Michael McCaul, the chair of the House Foreign Service.
From Texas. Let's let people know, if you live in Texas, give him a ring.
Yeah, the chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Representative Mike Rogers of Alabama, Republican. The chair of the House Armed Services Committee, Senator Roger Wicker of MS is a Mississippi, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, Mississippi. The ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, and Jim Risch, R-I-S-C-H, of Idaho. He's a Republican, the ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. They want cluster munitions used. These Republicans are...
Foreign relations.
Yeah, foreign relations. Yeah, these are how we win the hearts and minds of people. We use cluster munitions. So these Republicans are pieces of shit, and you need to let them know that. And by the way, President Biden probably will go along with this. So both of these parties
are
corrupt.
And he'll call it bipartisan.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be a bipartisan agreement. So both of these parties are corrupt. And these neoconservatives who are calling for cluster munitions need to be held to account. So get ready, because the United States is about to launch a massive offensive in the coming days and coming weeks in Ukraine. It won't be Ukrainians. It'll be the U.S. and NATO. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday edition of the show. We're going to look at the Polish hypocrisy slamming Russia, but also increasing their trade with Russia. We're going to dive into that.
And Bill Gates is saying, you know, ChatGPT, AI, it's a great idea. It may decide humans are obsolete and wipe us out, but let's keep going. And he has a reason why. You're going to like this. It's very head-scratching piece.
That's right. Yeah.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at MedCline. Now, have you ever had sore shoulders when you're sleeping?
For instance,
you're sleeping on your side and your shoulder falls asleep. That happens to me a lot, but it doesn't any longer because we started using the MedCline. It is a medical device that you sleep on, and it helps you by relieving the shoulder pain by taking your body weight off of it, like this dude here that you see sleeping on his side, because it has this sort of like tunnel that you can put your arm in and then it lifts you up. And that's especially good for acid reflux. So if you suffer from painful nighttime acid reflux, shoulder pain, or both, the MedCline patented pillow system is designed to cushion your body in a sleeping position that is very comfortable, doctor recommended, and clinically proven to provide effective natural acid reflux or shoulder pain relief and a better night's sleep. In fact, 95% of patients reported an overall improvement in sleep quality when using the MedCline. The MedCline Reflux Relief System is proven to reduce exposure to harmful stomach acid 87% better than just a simple bed wedge. And MedCline's medical-grade gel-infused foam is built to last and provides cooling comfort and exceptional night's sleep for anyone using it. And plus, this shoulder relief system that I told you about helps those suffering shoulder pain, rotator cuff injuries, arthritis, sleep issues, and much, much more. So to get 20% off now, you can go to medcline.com/redacted and you'll get 20% off plus that better night's sleep. So try it today and visit medcline.com/redacted. We thank them so much for their support of this show.
Yeah, Derek, you know what's good for shoulder pain? Don't say it.
Do you guys know that? Step Brothers?
If you're fans of Step Brothers, you'll know what that reference is.
No,
but you can't say it. I'm not going to say it on the show. You know what's good for shoulder pain?
If you lick my...
Yeah, no.
Sorry. Okay.
I was saying not to say it, then you say it.
Sorry, I can't. It's
you're
like
you're the dirty one.
Sorry.
It's like the shaven haircut. Dun, 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 dun. You have to do the... Dun,
yeah.
Dun.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay. All right, we've got more news to get to here. Yeah, you want to talk about this, or are you going to take a sip? While she's doing that, yeah, we've got more news to get to. We're going to tell you about what's going on this fluoride study. So
there's no fluoride in this water.
There's no fluoride in that water? All right, let's do it.
All right. What is the government hiding from you? It turns out a lot. A blocked report from the government has just seen the light of day, and this is relating to fluoride. Biden health officials suppressed a government study that showed that there is no safe level of fluoride in water supply and that it can lower IQ in children and harm pregnant women. The only reason we know about this is thanks to a lawsuit that forced the Biden administration to turn over the documents. But first, just look at the places that do have fluoride in the water. This map is courtesy of the British Fluoridation Society. Fluoride in the water is a funny thing, right? The government says we need it to protect our teeth, and our teeth need protection because the modern diet is so degrading on teeth enamel and full of sugar and processed foods that grind down our teeth. It's a vicious cycle, right? So the government, in response to this, has decided to fix our food chain. Just kidding. They're not. Right. They're not going to do right. anything. Like,
instead of all the processed food, we'll get rid of that. No, instead, we're going to mask it with chemicals in the water.
Yes, that's exactly right.
That's how we roll.
And, you know, there was never any real research on the effects of this. And now that there is some, the government is trying to hide that research about the possible negative effect of fluoride. A group called the Fluoride Action Network has sued the Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA. The EPA is being defended by the Justice Department. So you and your tax dollars are defending this. You're defending their right to maybe hurt you and your kids. That's how it works.
By putting fluoride in the water.
Because we pay our taxes and the Justice Department is taxpayer funded. So we are then all in on protecting the EPA. We have to be. But in this suit, they sought for the release of a report called the National Toxicology Program. And here is the report in question. Why do we have it? Because a judge ruled that we should. The Justice Department had asked for this report not to be released, and the judge ruled against them. Prior to that, the report was blocked from publication by Assistant Health Secretary Rachel Levine. You may recall that Rachel Levine is a transgender person that says that doctors should be trans advocates for medical transition. So this person's A-okay with foreign chemicals in the body. We already know this. Here is the email in question where someone is asking, like, hey, we got a heads up from the NIH about this report coming out soon and fluoride and the, you know, effects on IQ. Assume you're aware. Do we need to chat? That is, you know, I think that that's masking, like, yikes, this is going to suck. We need to talk about it. To which this person responds, thanks so much. Assistant Health Secretary Levine has put it on hold until further notice. Like, we should be freaking out, but for now, it's been buried.
So Levine has other things to do. She's out getting Woman of the Year awards.
Uh-huh.
Too busy to release this report on damaging fluoride effects on children.
Right. I mean, you know, we've talked many times about the pharmaceuticals that are put in transgender children in order to treat gender dysphoria. It does not solve gender dysphoria. It only hurts their bodies. Rachel Levine is totally fine with that. So, yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, so back in like 2008, 2009, when I first started my journey, I started watching Alex Jones. And Alex Jones complained about fluoride in the water and was actually fighting his local government in Austin, Texas, to stop from putting fluoride in the water. He was like, that was one of his big things back that long ago.
Yeah, okay. I remember hearing about this years ago and wondering, like, oh, is there fluoride in our water? Then we got a water filtration system mm-hmm. in New Jersey because the water was so bad. I mean, it was just, there were so many chemicals in that water.
Yeah.
As a kid, I think it was like, kindergarten or first grade, they used to give us in the school, and if anyone remembers this, I was in New Jersey at the time, a little plastic cup every morning, and they'd put like one little pink fluoride tablet in the cup, and you had to like chew it. And you had to chew it. It was like chalky. And it was like the first thing you had to do when you got to school, have your fluoride tablet.
No.
And
that was like, we had that, but it was liquid.
Okay.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we had it. I remember that.
No, but our pediatrician would regularly try, and the pediatrician that treated my kids would give us prescriptions for it to give the kids as well. And I did not fill those prescriptions because I was concerned about it.
Good.
So
it was just me that had the pills then.
Yeah. Okay. Then we're just going to have to worry about you. Now, this happy to chat bit in the email tells me that they do not want any more of a paper trail on this, that this email in and of itself is damaging
like
enough.
Let's chat on the phone.
Yes, that's usually like right, speak like, for
don't type it out.
Let's bring this off of a paper trail.
Let's walk to the park near the Washington Monument, and I'll bring a newspaper and I'll sit on a park bench. If you see me go like this, then you can sit down next to me.
Right.
Like, we'll talk about it.
I didn't go that far in that scenario, but I like it.
I'm thinking like Americans like Spy Network or something, but that's what this is. We don't want you to talk on a paper trail. We want to do this clandestinely.
And they even have to do it on like burner phones because we remember the call we heard from I can't remember the lady's name, but the Ukraine thing where they're like, oh yeah, F them, you know, like that phone conversation that got leaked. Well, yeah. So they probably have to use burner phones because Victoria Nuland.
All right. So here is what the report found. I'm only going to give you the summary because they looked at around, I believe it was 55 different studies, and they sort of did a compendium of them, and they found that here is the results. Let's just read it. In adults, only two high-quality cross-sectional studies examining cognitive effects were available. The literature in children was more extensive and was separated into two studies assessing IQ and studies assessing other cognitive or neurodevelopmental outcomes. 8 of 9 high-quality studies examining other cognitive or neurodevelopmental outcomes reported association with fluoride exposure. 72 studies assessed the association between fluoride exposure and IQ in children. 19 of those studies were considered to be high quality. Of these, 18 reported an association between higher fluoride exposure and lower IQ in children. The 18 studies, which include 3 prospective cohort studies and 15 cross-sectional studies, were conducted in 5 different countries. 46 of the 53 low-quality studies in children were also found evidence of an association between higher fluoride exposure and lower IQ in children. These studies have been going on since at least 2000. The case. This litigation has been going on since at least 2017. And what this group wants, the group that's litigating, is for the EPA to regulate the fluoridation of drinking water supply under Section 6A because they maintain the ingestion of fluoride poses an unreasonable risk of neurotoxic harm to humans. And the EPA continues to deny the plaintiff's petition. The plaintiffs filed this suit seeking judicial review of the EPA's determination, meaning they want, because the EPA is just refusing. They're saying, we're not going to look at it and we're not going to regulate it. So they want the court to make them, basically. So then the court becomes the scientist because the court has to see this and say, yeah, absolutely, there is a risk here. And so the court has to determine what the EPA is refusing to do.
You know, there's one thing that the government, United States government, is responsible for. That is the protection and security of its people, right? And how many times are we seeing evidence that they're doing the exact opposite? The Environmental Protection Agency is supposed to protect us from environmental toxins. They have studies, 46 out of 53 studies that they have now shown that it raises incredible problems for young children and adults.
Yeah.
And they're putting this into the water. It's not like they found it as a chemical that's seeping out of rocks where fluoride comes from. They're adding it to the water and they're suppressing it, not protecting people. That's astonishing to me.
Right. You know, and again, it's largely a result of the high sugar content in the American diet. So they're protecting, they're insulating and enabling a bad diet in order to continue to, you know, profit from that, and refusing to, you know, what this group is saying is, we want you to look into this and regulate it. And they're saying, no, you can't make me. And so now they're, and so I think this is this, this is an example of the court system working for what it's meant to do, which is saying, yeah, we have the right, we the people, it's in the public interest for us to see this and for you to do your job. And this group has the right to come to a court to make you. The release of this report earned the attention of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Children's Health Defense Chairman and Chief Litigation Counsel, who has spoken a few times on this show about the COVID vaccine. But about this, he says, these findings fly in the face of the empty, unscientific claims U.S. health officials have propagated for years, namely that water fluoridation is safe and beneficial. He says, it's past time to eliminate this neurotoxin from our water supply. I do want to put a pin in this word neurotoxin because, you know, this is a word that means that something's corroborated or something is connected with problems with neurology, things that are known to cause, say, dementia or Alzheimer's. The cancer industry did a great job of getting the word carcinogen to put on our radar. So now we know things that are related to cancer is carcinogenic.
Right.
And so now this is something that I think we all should pay attention to is, what is a neurotoxin? Endocrine disruptors are a neurotoxin. Gum inflammation is associated as a neurotoxin.
What is an endocrine disruptor? Like something?
It's something that's shifting the balance of your natural hormones.
Like, what's a common endocrine disruptor?
Hormonal birth control.
Birth control. Okay.
Or Tylenol has been known to be an endocrine disruptor. Synthetic hormones that we put in transgender children is absolutely an endocrine disruptor. And I think it's important that we start to use this word in the same way we use carcinogenic. We know cigarettes are carcinogenic. Now we know other things are neurotoxins. And in fact, a bad diet is a neurotoxin. Things that contribute to the decline of your cognition and your brain function are neurotoxins. And we need to use this word and call out things that are that we are regularly exposed to, that we're paying our taxes for our government to prevent us from being exposed to. So is fluoride a neurotoxin? Research is suggesting that there is a strong connection that it is. And the U.S. clearly just does not want to deal with this, incidentally, because they have been adding fluoride to water since 1945.
Unbelievable. Well, send Pete Buttigieg out to investigate if the water is toxic. He'll be there in a couple of weeks. Unbelievable. What's so sad about these things, over the past year, we've covered no short of like four or five different stories that we only learned about on this show because, well, the information was redacted initially, but because of Freedom of Information Act requests or lawsuits, we learned about Pfizer documents.
Yeah.
We've learned through Freedom of Information Act requests. We've learned about through lawsuits a number of key things that we wouldn't have learned about because the government suppressed it.
But I think that that is an indication of the court system working, and I find encouragement in that. And at a time when we're always like, oh, the government just won't do the right thing,
right,
at least we still have this bastion of, you know, some recourse to reclaim power that is lost. You know, whether it always works, absolutely that's not the case, but at least we do still have some pieces of the justice system that are working, and I'm encouraged by that.
Well, and really quick, I want to add to that, that, you know, it used to be a lot harder to find this information. They used to do a lot of this in the dark of night because there was no social media. There's nobody really, you know, paying attention to stuff. And now they're getting held to account a lot more. And so, you know, they're not able to hide things. So now they're doing a lot of this publicly. Like we're getting these phone calls. We're seeing these meetings and we're seeing what they're doing behind the scenes. And like they say, sunshine is the best, what, disinfectant or whatever. So, you know, we're seeing what they're doing more and more. And I think that that's good because, like you said, it gives us the ability to take action on it.
And, you know, when things like Twitter will allow us to share this stuff now in a way that we didn't used to because it would get suppressed and blocked. We've got more news to get to here on this Wednesday edition. We're going to talk about the Polish hypocrisy in Ukraine and the amount of trade that they're undertaking with the Russians. Despite what they're saying publicly, we'll have those numbers for you. And we're also going to look at Bill Gates, who says that artificial intelligence is the second revolutionary tech advancement in his lifetime. I guess the first one was the internet. This is the second one.
No, the first one was the technology behind Windows.
Oh, Windows. Okay. So what does Bill Gates think about artificial intelligence and ChatGPT? And he's written a new paper on this. We're going to dive into Bill Gates. And is he going to make money off of this also? What does that portend for his future profits? But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Nugenix, because if you feel like it's harder to get in shape these days and stay in shape, our sponsor at Nugenix Total T is offering a complimentary bottle right now when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword redacted. That's right. If you notice that your body's got a little, flabbier, you got the little dad bod going on, feeling a little less like your old self, you don't have time to work out, but you want the energy than the body that you once have. Well, Nugenix Total T will help you feel revived, working out like you used to, feeling like you just can't get in shape. It's not your fault. As men age, our body naturally loses, the free testosterone, the man hormone. It happens to every man and can make it more difficult to stay in shape and be energetic and active. Nugenix Total T contains the man-boosting key ingredients like Testofen. It's been validated in 5 clinical studies shown to boost free testosterone levels in men. It's the essential free testosterone levels that our aging process robs you of. You're going to feel stronger once you have this back in your body, leaner, more energy and drive, more passion too. Your partner will notice the difference as well. Nugenix Total T is the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. So I want you to check it out right now. You'll get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword redacted. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, the most powerful fat incinerator ever. with key ingredients to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text 231-231, enter the keyword redacted. Again, text 231-231, enter the keyword redacted. Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. All right. How's everyone feeling on this Wednesday? Let us know in the chat. By the way, if you do subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big board. A little bit later in the show, we're going to move over to Rumble exclusively for the last story in our show. So make sure that you're subscribed to our Rumble channel as well. It's rumble.com/redacted. Rumble.com/redacted is the place to go for that. All right. Well, a few weeks ago, the European Union imposed its 10th round of sanctions against Russia. European leaders, of course, had been scrambling to find ways to try to handicap Russia's economy. They've tried everything. And one of the most outspoken members of the European Union is the Polish prime minister. And after the 10th round of sanctions, there he is, they were passed. He said that he was not happy with it. These 10th round of sanctions, he said. He said it was too soft. It's too weak on Russia. Those are his words, not mine. But it turns out he's a hypocrite, as we've called him out here on the show before, because we have new data out today showing just how much trade Poland is in fact doing with Russia. And they're profiting handsomely in Poland off of this trading with Russia, making lots of money. In fact, Poland has actually increased its trade with Russia during this war. How's that for some Polish hypocrisy? Reporter John Cody over at Remix News did a fabulous job of cataloging this Polish hypocrisy. I want to go through just a few points and have a conversation about it here. So here's the headline. What war? Poland's still doing $4.7 billion in business with Russia, and it's the third biggest exporter to Russia in Europe, writes John Cody. So I just want to kind of highlight what he says here, what John says. So Poland has long criticized Hungary for its neutrality in the war in Ukraine and its calls to end sanctions on Russia, John writes. But despite the Polish government's tough rhetoric, billions in exports continue to flow from Poland to Russia. Data from Eurostat shows that Polish exports to Russia fell sharply in the first half of 2022, only to begin to rise again in the second half of the year. And in the fourth quarter of 2022, Poland exported $1.2 billion worth of goods, or euros worth of goods, to Russia. Although this represented a fall of 44% over 2021 numbers, it was a marked improvement on the second and the third quarters of the year, according to the Polish news outlet Forsal. And then he writes that after initially falling to 300 million euro in March and 200 million in April, exports to Russia are recovering and are now regularly above 300 million per month. The total value of Polish exports to Russia for 2022 was $4.7 billion. That means that Poland was the third biggest exporter to Russia. Only Germany and Italy exported more. And just think about the German aspect of that for a second. Like, wait a minute. Germany, which is sending tanks to Ukraine to attack Russia? Poland, which is sending tanks and jets to Ukraine to attack Russia, is also profiting handsomely from exporting their goods to Russia, and they continue this?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Polish exports to Russia are dominated by industrial products, which accounted for almost 830 million euros. The second largest contributor was synthetic fibers, 371 million euros. And in third place came pharmaceuticals. So they're making sure, they're sending drugs. And the pharmaceutical companies are profiting handsomely off of sending drugs through Poland into Russia, 353 million euros worth. That was an actual increase of 18% since 2021. So they're increasing trade with Russia, while at the same time demanding more sanctions and saying that we need to be tougher because these sanctions are too weak on Russia. Yeah, maybe all the loopholes that you found allow you to profit handsomely off of this, right?
Right.
Footwear was also another big export from Poland to Russia. So how's Russia doing with all these sanctions? Well, Euronews reports this morning that the largest sanctions, of course, are around energy from Russia.
Which is interesting, right? Because then you see the government choosing winners and losers, something
right.
we say a lot. Like they're choosing citizens to lose access to affordable energy, but they're choosing businesses to succeed just fine.
Right. Oh, yeah, exactly. And that's how these loopholes work, right? And again, the EU ban on imports of Russian crude oil and refined petroleum products, which directly targeted Moscow's money-making main source of revenue, was also the thing that was identified as the bloc's most daring and far-reaching sanctions until now, according to Euronews. The oil and refined petroleum products. Hilariously, though, the ban on natural gas and oil exemptions for pipeline imports they carved out all of these exemptions for the pipelines. Isn't that hilarious? So Russia can continue to send natural gas and oil on pipelines to Europe. So I guess we have to blow them up because that was a carve out literally in the sanctions just for pipelines until we blow them up. And then it's irrelevant, right? It managed to gradually remove 90% of EU purchases of Russian oil. That's what the EU did. 90%. So Russian oil down and estimated to be worth $71 billion in 2021 to Russia. Now, what has Russia done? Actually increased its exports of oil and increased its profits. So screw you, Europe. And according to Bloomberg this morning, no signs of Russian oil production being cut. Moscow had planned to reduce output by 500,000 barrels per day in March. And turns out they didn't need to do that, according to Bloomberg yesterday. Volumes of oil destined for China, India, Turkey, and other nations that have not joined in the Russian sanctions are now enjoying the bounty of these new oil and gas exports and Russia's profits going up. So the flow of this stuff has not stopped or subsided at all. And on top of all of that, as we move away from like the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, Russia, a new report out this morning, says that Russia says their gold stashes have grown tremendously during the war. Their gold holdings jumped by 1 million troy ounces over the last year as their central bank bought the metal amid sanctions on its reserves imposed by the United States and its allies over the invasion of Ukraine. It had held 74 million ounces of gold at the end of February. So there you go. They're hoarding gold, and so is China, and moving away from the U.S. dollar as these sanctions continue. But are you surprised at all that Poland is actually profiting handsomely by continuing to export? If they really want to put their money where their mouth is, stop all exports to Russia.
Yeah.
You're profiting handsomely off of this.
I mean, but it's Polish companies that are profiting handsomely off of this, and the Polish economy is able to tax it and benefit from it, absolutely. And, you know, then they can sort of talk this strong game and pretend that they can handle it when they're making a different case to the European Union that they have a force majeure that keeps them from paying Pfizer for their COVID vaccines. So, you know, are they doing well or aren't they? They're speaking with the forked tongue here.
Right.
And so that they're fine to make the case that they're hurting when it, you know, when it benefits them, and then make the case that they're not hurting when they can talk strong against Russia. But who gets caught in the crosshairs is the Polish people.
Yeah, of course.
Well, and they're part of NATO, right? So, I mean, how can you go against U.S. sanctions if you're part of NATO? Like that, isn't that like can they be like, well, you know what? You're out. You're going to.
Well, that's the thing. There's so many little carve outs and loopholes in these sanctions, right? So, you know, what they're not allowed to import, they're not allowed to import the oil from Russia, but they are allowed to take some natural gas from Russia. They're like, it's weird, these like little carve outs they're allowed to take during these sanctions.
Well, we see Hungary pushing back against sanctions, and that's, you know, getting them in big trouble.
Well, and they're getting in big trouble with Poland. So Poland basically has said, we are done with an alliance with Hungary. Hungary is basically saying, no, we're not sending any weapons to Ukraine, even though we're a part of the EU and we're a part of NATO, and we don't want to have anything to do with sending weapons in Ukraine. And so Poland basically announcing, yeah, we're done with you, Hungary. And Hungary's like, well, we're going to continue to do trading with them because we're not going to adhere to these. We're basically ignoring these sanctions.
Yeah.
So, you know, Hungary, it's a tale of, hey, we're not going to send weapons. We're going to continue to trade and not listen to these garbage sanctions anyway.
And you know what you're saying right now is...
Is it surprising that all of these carve outs, they all favor like one particular class, and it's the ultra wealthy? because that's all the carve outs are created for that. So where, you know, you've got like Germans are told that, well, you're going to freeze this winter and it's okay because we're saving Ukraine. But all these carve outs, they're punishing the everyday civilians. But then there's no interruption whatsoever to the status quo of the ultra wealthy. And that's what these carve outs are all about.
Yeah.
Well, and I was going to point out that this is exactly the recruiting tool that BRICS nations needs. That's going to make these countries be like, we don't want to be part of this anymore. Like you put sanctions on them, then you're getting mad at us because we don't want to take part in your sanctions. We're going to move to BRICS nations. Like they are just blatantly like making this easy for them to make that decision.
Yeah. But it's interesting to think about how would a nation then consider to join a BRICS nation and say, we don't want any of this stuff to happen that we see happening with the NATO alliance. You know, will this be a new alliance that repeats the same mistakes, or will it be something that's learned from previous mistakes?
I don't know. It's amazing to watch. It's amazing to see how we've shot ourselves in our own foot, and Russia is doing fine with their GDP rising. And didn't we have in the newsletter this morning, UK's inflation rate hitting a new record, right? Over
10%. 10.4%.
Yeah. So how's it working out for you? How's it working out? Hey, we've got more news to get to here on this Wednesday. We're going to move to Rumble, though, for that in a moment. So get ready. Get your Rumble fingers ready to head on over to rumble.com/redacted. We're going to go there. And we're going to talk about this Bill Gates story, which is crazy. The future of artificial intelligence. Of course, everyone's talking about artificial intelligence and Bill Gates writing a new piece about why this is the future. So we'll check on that. But first, attention, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 17 free stocks? With Moomoo, my favorite trading platform, there's no steep learning curve. It has a simple interface and it's easy to use, so even beginners can take advantage of the stock market in no time. Plus, it offers powerful tools, often reserved for experienced investors, like customizable watch lists and advanced charting capabilities. And now Moomoo even has a powerful new earnings calendar, so you don't have to hunt and peck trying to find earnings schedules for your favorite companies. Right now, for a limited time, Moomoo is giving away 17 free stocks when you open your account and you make your initial deposits. Even if you never do anything else with the account, you get to keep those free stocks. Moomoo has zero commission trades, and the app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Windows and Mac. Moomoo can help you trade with its advanced tools like their stock screener and their earnings calendar. So no matter what your skill level is, you'll find fantastic tools that can help you trade. Open your free Moomoo account today. Get access to zero commission trades and 17 free stocks when you open your account and make your initial deposits. So to learn more, check out our link at redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's redacted.inc/Moomoo. All right, we've got more news to get to, and for that, we are going to move over to our Rumble channel. So we're going to say goodbye to our YouTube audience. Please subscribe to the channel if you're here on YouTube, but also we'd love for you to move over to Rumble. The stream will continue live over there, rumble.com/redacted. We're almost at 300,000 followers over on Rumble, so that's really exciting. Another alternative place where we do not have to worry about censorship. So come on over and join us, because we might say some things that are going to get us in trouble on YouTube now. So come on over, rumble.com/redacted, and bye to our YouTube audience. We'll be back here at 4 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. All right, welcome over to Rumble. Welcome, everyone. Good to see everybody. While we're waiting for everyone just to get lined up here, I should mention we have a daily newsletter. If you go to redacted.inc, you can subscribe. Redacted.inc is the place to go. Put in your email address, sign up, and tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, you'll receive the newsletter first thing over your cup of coffee. But you have to verify your email once you subscribe. Go into your spam folder or your junk folder and just verify it. And then we cover about five or six stories over the course of the few minutes you're reading. You'll feel really informed. I think we cover the markets. We look at gold prices. We cover some things you might have missed overnight and some of the big stories. Anyway, subscribe. Redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for our daily newsletter.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Bill Gates says that ChatGPT could decide that humans are a threat. And then insert doomsday scenario here.
I hope he's got a solution.
Is it because we are an invasive species and decide that humans are, BS? And, Yeah, you could make that argument, right? If you're an intelligent being and you can think for yourself, you might just say, humans, they're messing it all up. Let's get rid of this.
I mean, yeah, last night at dinner, we had a whole discussion about ChatGPT and artificial intelligence because our kids were like, what is this? What is artificial intelligence? And my kids have a basic understanding, you know?
Yes.
But what is ChatGPT and why is this such a threat to humanity?
Well, this comes from a new article from Bill Gates. He doesn't exactly say that, you know, they're going to wipe us all out, but he does say that it could decide that humans are a threat and conclude that it is in the interests of that its interests are different from ours, or simply stop caring about us. I don't know how a computer cares about us, but you have to find out, I guess. We're going to go through this. Here's the story. This is a letter published on Bill Gates' own website about his views on artificial intelligence and programs like ChatGPT and now Google's Bard. That's the ChatGPT competitor that just launched this week. And they're saying that it can do all of the same things that ChatGPT can do. For instance, suggest more high protein options to add to your vegan diet. You can ask it whatever. So this is basically Bill Gates making his pitch for why AI is important and warning us on how it will start showing up in our lives. And we are presenting this to you because he's telling us how he sees it working in our lives, and he will start implementing it soon. He has the money and power to do that. This is Dr. Mike Yeadon, former VP at Pfizer. He's warning why we need to listen when Bill Gates speaks with caution. Listen.
So just as I come to a close, unfortunately, I think this is just the beginning. Yes. So I've learned when people tell you what they're going to do, don't ignore them. So when the UN and Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab tell you that they've got a UN 2030 plan with sustainable development goals, I think there are 17 or 21 of them, and every one of them says, you won't be traveling, you won't have a private car, we won't be using international shipping to move goods around, there won't be any flights except military or perhaps very rich people, you won't own anything and you'll be happy, you probably won't live in your own house, you'll be using much less energy for everything, including heating, manufactured goods, and so on. When they tell you that, you should assume that they're serious about it. And so I think COVID has been part one of a multi-act play that's going to take 10 years that will destroy the liberal democracies completely. We've already, if you think living in a democracy, now ask yourself who you could vote for that would change this, because I don't think there's anyone you can vote for anywhere that is guaranteeing things. So I don't have an answer, but I'm telling you, I think we're sliding down through the gates of hell. I'm speaking out. There's nothing in it for me. I've lost lots of money, all my friends. I'm away from my home and family. And I'm speaking out because I am absolutely sure what I've told you is substantially true.
Wow.
Okay.
Holy smokes.
So how does ChatGPT or AI play into that?
Right.
This sort of full removal of the society in which we know and love. I mean, do we love it? We at least know it. We're comfortable with it.
I love certain parts of it. I love you.
Thank you.
I love David. I love Philip. I love our audience. But there's a lot I don't like about it. This is why we do this show.
And so could some of our world now be transformed because of artificial intelligence? And where is Bill Gates to insert the gaps here and then profit from it? Well, first, go ahead.
I just saw yesterday, and Russell Brand even used it in his thumbnail, somebody made an AI image of Trump getting arrested by police officers. And unless you looked very closely, you could not tell that was AI. There was some stuff in the neck. Like, I know stuff to look for because I've been using it a lot. But the people that don't, they thought that was real and started sharing it. So it's already creating issues.
Oh, deep fakes. Yeah. I mean, there was deep fakes floating around last week of President Biden talking about the bank bailouts.
Right.
People like, I can't believe he said this. People on Twitter were falling for it.
But don't worry, because Bill Gates says the government will regulate it and then that stuff will go away.
Okay, good.
It's going to be okay. It's all going to be fine. So let me get around to that then. First, he defines AI, and he says here that technically the term artificial intelligence refers to a model created to solve a specific problem or provide a particular service. What's powering things like ChatGPT is artificial intelligence. It is learning how to do chat better, but we can't learn other tasks. By contrast, the term artificial general intelligence refers to software that's capable of learning any task or subject. He's saying AGI doesn't exist yet. So what we're talking about now is AI. It can do like learn to do one thing, right? But it cannot learn to learn, I suppose, is the distinction. Now, he's making the argument that we need to keep going down this path because it could potentially solve world problems such as access to healthcare for poor people and access to education for poor people. But how do those poor people access high-powered computing? He doesn't say. In fact, he makes the case later that this could just continue to help wealthy people in wealthy countries and wealthy workforces. That's in his three ways to think about this, which we'll get to in a second. But he does say that AI could be better at genetically modifying our food. Here's where he says this. AI can help develop better seeds based on local conditions, advise farmers on the best seeds to plant based on the soil and weather in their area, and help develop drugs and vaccines for livestock. Well, those are two things we know Bill Gates is keenly interested in, is genetically altered food and vaccines.
That they own the patents for.
That he owns patents for,
that
right?
You won't be able to grow your own soybeans because you'll need to be growing the ones that he provides, right?
And he won't have to fight anybody because it's just machines that he can say, only use my patented seeds, and then, you know,
right,
tell everybody else that these seeds are the ones that you need to be eating from.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah.
And now, when they cause cancers, I have the vaccine or I have the medicine to help you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, is he just suggesting that it can't learn on its own? Because I did a ChatGPT thing where I trained the ChatGPT to think, like, basically learn everything about a camera, everything about, you know, how to set up a shot and framing and all that other stuff. And then I told it, when I give you a prompt, act like you are a professional photographer. And it said, okay, so then when I just put in, you know, like alien from space, it put in like the aperture, the depth, like the framing, wow, like everything like a professional photographer. Then I got the images back and it had like shallow depth of field. So it learned how to think like a photographer. So is that just not what they're saying? Because it's like you're training it to do that, or because it basically learned how to think like a photographer from my prompts?
It's saying that it can't learn on its own something that you haven't already programmed it to learn. That's what he's saying. So it, you know,
right,
you
so
can
it's not
say,
gonna take what I gave it.
Let's
and
learn about
on
photography
it.
And it will learn about photography. But then it can't say, well, then I'm also interested in painting because of, you know, this type of art form, and then go and learn painting on its own. It can't expand on that knowledge. It's sort of tunnel vision. What I'm gathering from what he's presenting here. Where were we? We talked about seeds and vaccines, right?
Right.
Okay. He's saying that it can act as your personal agent, although that agent could just kind of goof up and accidentally share all of your information. Here is one use case he talks about. He says some issues will need to be worked out around this personal agent that's already done your scheduling and your e-commerce and all of that stuff. For instance, can an insurance company ask your personal agent things about you without your permission? If so, how many people will choose not to use it? So you can imagine this in the wrong hands, like a hacker or a government agent gets into your ChatGPT assistant and asks it for things that you might not want to share. For instance, ChatGPT, give me Clayton's passwords. Or whatever, journal entries, private conversations, ChatGPT, start, give me the recordings of when he talked to his wife and that Alexa was in it, right? Like, you can see the implications here. In fact, he says we'll have to teach it a personality trait of restraint if we want to use it. Here's when him saying that. It can be told to be passive or encouraged to speak up if it has some insight. Like, we need to tell it, it needs to be able to discern when is it appropriate to share everything it knows, which is a lot, and when is it not.
So when you're talking about
a lot of human beings who don't have that, you know, ability to restrain themselves. There's a saying in Portuguese, you lost the opportunity to be silent. Like, how are you going to keep a computer that knows everything from sharing and discerning what you want to know and what not to?
Hmm. Interesting. I was just thinking, like, in terms of like keeping things from the American public, you have to train it and, you know, to keep things from you. Like when we talk about vaccines or we talk about certain things, like we'll have to train it and keep it from telling you the data and information.
Well, and in that case, it could be good because the government will not be able to contain information because it will be so chatty.
Right. Maybe
but
we'll
you may not want that.
Right.
Right. So you think you go to a job interview and I don't know, and it gives that, you know, it sort of just communicates with your employer in a job interview, and the employer could say, I want to know your medical history to see if, you know, and they could discriminate against you because you may have had excessive bleeding at some point, you know, like heavy periods, and like, oh, I don't want to hire that girl or what have you. That's just top of my head. But don't worry, the government will use it responsibly. Bill Gates assures us. Here's him saying that, like most inventions, artificial intelligence can be used for good purposes or malign ones. Governments need to work with the private sector on ways to limit these tasks. Oh, yes, the government. We trust them to use this responsibly. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it doesn't make sense because, like, okay, so I trained it to be a photographer. A hacker is going to train it to hack. And this is one model that's going to have all the knowledge. This thing might, we're going to give you war strategies that are, like, you know, highly secretive. And this is how you win a war, yeah, and et cetera. You have all this information loaded into this thing. How do you control that?
The government will control that, he says, and the private sector.
Don't worry about it. The government's
got it. Yeah, I just don't understand how, like, because I do already see that it's biased. Like, you can definitely see bias in its responses, but they said that they're trying to work on that so that it isn't, because they said that that's because the information that's publicly available is biased.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Google with their new Bard system today, I don't know if you included this in the story or not, but we were talking earlier and Google came out, or they recognized that Google's Bard system says that it would not say an ethnic slur, even if it could prevent a nuclear world war. Google's AI Bard says it would not say an, so even if, like, oh, I just had to say an ethnic slur, it wouldn't say the ethnic slur in order to prevent a nuclear war.
Oh, okay. There you go. I'm glad that Bard is woke. At the same time, given that the government is one of the largest employers in most Western countries, the government will have to find new jobs for all of these people that AI outsources. Bill Gates doesn't have any compunction about that. He says governments need to help workers transition into other roles because everything that they're currently doing, ChatGPT can do for them. So we won't need them. So we need to figure out what to do with all of these people. The government, there's a lot for the government to do around ChatGPT. They need to start working on that. But don't worry about it, because he says that will free you up to do other things at home. Playing into the, like, you stay at home.
Right. Just don't leave your house. Stay at home. It'll free you up to do more things where you work remotely.
Yeah.
And you don't drive a car.
Now, he makes the case that
15-minute city.
It will, yes, that it will help with learning by optimizing your own learning habits. He says it will measure your understanding, notice when you're losing interest, and understand what kind of motivation you respond to, which seems to me biometric feedback, like it's saying your heart rate's low or whatever, your neurons are not stimulated. And, you know, again, we can trust it because personal computing so far has been good for our attention spans.
Okay. Well, that suggests there's going to have to be some kind of mechanism inside of us to read that stuff.
Yeah. Or some kind of Baymax, you know, from the movie.
We can use, Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6, that's sort of scanning your response to interaction.
We could use Elon Musk's Neuralink.
Something
so we'll
like
just
that.
Be linked up and synced up.
But in
remember
fact,
that video we showed? That video we showed where it was like, hey, your neighbor from across the aisle here is upset. It's something that you said. Remember, like, they was getting feedback in real time of their thoughts and everything.
They promoted it like it would be great. It was like a future office experience.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, you'll know things about your neighbor in the office and without even having to do anything.
Right. Yeah. But in fact, because our attention spans will be shot from hyperstimulation due to screen time, we may just have to worry about what is called strong AI, meaning better than humans. Here's what he says. He says, compared to a computer, our brains operate at a snail's pace. And he gives the number of how much faster, you know, computer processing is than your brain. He says, once developers can generalize a learning algorithm and run it at the speed of a computer, an accomplishment that could be a decade or a century away, we'll have an incredibly powerful AGI. It will be able to do everything a human brain can, but without any practical limits on the size of its memory or the speed at which it operates. And this will be a profound change. These strong AIs, as they're known, will probably be able to establish their own goals. What will these goals be? What happens if they conflict with humanity's interest? Should we try to prevent strong AI from ever being developed? These questions will get more pressing with time. And as these strong AIs have goals that conflict with humanity, can we ever contain it? Probably not. And here is what he says about that. Could a machine decide that humans are a threat, conclude that its interests are different from ours, or simply stop caring about us? Possibly. But this problem is no more urgent today than it was before the AI developments of the past few months, in which he then lays out this. He's like, well, you know, then we have this 3-point plan. I mean, I think this is more than just like, probably. Like, what if computers did decide that humans are too complicated to deal with, and that complication is an inefficiency, and its goal is to whatever, perpetuate itself like the Matrix, and it decides to, in essence, turn us off, which is a real possibility. That he's like,
well, and you know, that's already being developed. They already got terms for it. Like, you know, somebody is experimenting somewhere AI. doing that, and it's going to be like a lab leak.
Right.
Oops, yeah. The AI got out.
I know, and it sounds like because even the pandemic, everything we went through in the pandemic sounded like that's like science fiction.
Futuristic.
That could never happen. Mm-hmm. We're literally in the middle of it. It's happening right before our eyes right now.
Yeah.
So I believe that this stuff is happening and probably will happen on a much larger scale.
Well, and the digital IDs give them the ability to do everything. Like if you get the digital ID, you get everybody on these systems, then you just release AI onto it to track things and to make decisions and all that. It's like, it's already coming. Like we can, if you don't see that there's a parallel there, then...
Yeah.
That's why we have to fight those digital IDs.
Well, that's why he gives us these sort of 3 principles that should guide our conversation around. And so I numbered them because he didn't, just to make it easier for us. It says, first, we should try to balance our fears about the downside. To which I say, I guess he's just kind of like, put that aside, you know, because we're doing it. Second, market forces won't naturally produce AI products and services that help the poorest. So he makes this very strong case that it's here for the poor, but then he's like, but actually it's going to benefit the rich, as most technologies do. And we need to focus on just doing it, even though we know. So the whole first like half of it is about education and healthcare and how it's about getting access to those people. But then he admits it's probably not going to get there to those people. And finally, we should keep in mind that we're only at the beginning of what AI can accomplish, and whatever limitation it has today will be gone before we know it. So even though we want to ask these like existential questions, just know that that's temporary because it's coming. It's scary, and it could, you know, realize that humans are nonsensical and get rid of us. And it could redesign the food chain and the way we live and work. But because of poor people, which we don't know how to get it to, we should do it.
Thank you, Bill Gates.
Yeah.
For your analysis.
It's always for the poor people. He cares about poor people a whole heck of a lot.
How he can profit.
I don't know how to get it to them, but because of poor people, we should do it.
And how much he's profited during the pandemic, and he admitted to CNBC how much he profited off of the pandemic. So yeah, that's where his heart is.
All right.
Knew there was an angle. As soon as I saw this published piece, I was like, what angle is this for him? Where is he going to make a lot of money on this?
Yeah.
You knew that this was
going to happen. Oh, there's a lot of places in there for him to make money. But that's what, you know, we're reading this with a critical eye because of the point that this Pfizer executive makes, is that we need to listen when he tells us where he's putting his efforts and his money, because it does inevitably affect us all. So we read it very critically. If you would like to give us a different read on it, please comment below. We very much appreciate your contribution.
We do indeed. We are live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, so please join us. Make sure you're subscribed here to the channel. We really, really appreciate it. We've got some great content lined up for you tomorrow. We're going to be looking more closely at what the fallout from the Fed's decision this afternoon and what that portends for markets. We'll have to see the reverberations around the world, what it will mean for Asian markets, what it will mean for the European markets, United States, housing market, everything. So we'll look more closely at that. And we're also going to look at the United States move towards invasion of Haiti. President Biden is getting ready to fly to Canada to meet with Justin Trudeau, and make that official, the invasion of Haiti, using perhaps Canadian forces. So we'll have a preview of that. So we'll have all of that and more on Redacted tomorrow. Thank you guys so much for subscribing to the channel, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye, everyone.